I'm John Glover. I was Lionel Luther on Smallville, and I will always, always hold on to Smallville. And I hope you all do too.
Welcome to Always Holding a Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of The Young Superman Show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I'm joined by Mr. Matt Truex. What's up, Matt?
Nothing much, man. How are you?
Welcome back to Smallville.
Happy to be here. Happy to introduce Linda Lake to the world, huh?
Yes. We've been spending a lot of time in New Gotham together, but it's great to have you back in the old town here.
To watch them mimic Birds of Prey with this slick storyline that we've got here, yeah.
Yeah, there's lots to discuss. Now, yeah. I know that you love these Linda Lake episodes.
Okay, let's clear something up.
I don't know how this
quick.
Started. Yeah, let's clear this up.
I'm playing the long con here. I want to be here for Infamous. That's the second one, right? One of my favorite episodes of Smallville ever. No caveats there. I just love that episode. So this is me, you know, doing my time.
Putting in his time.
Yep, talking about Linda Lake now, so that when she comes back, I get to talk about that episode. That said, I forgot about some stuff in this episode, and there's some great things in here. So I can't wait to discuss it.
Matt, you're telling me Linda Lake comes back. Are you saying that's not Alana Kills in this episode? Because we were
that
so
is not
close.
I'm going to go with a no, but it's also so, like, you know what she can do. Do you think she was dead? Like,
that's the thing. Like, I wanted
day
to mention
not
it
saved here
because Lana Kills is your category, and I give you such a hard time about it all the time. I was like, oh, they thought they killed her, but the episode clearly shows her not being dead,
right?
And then Chloe even says it's okay, she's gone now. So I don't understand,
you know,
why they thought
people
she
burst
dead.
Into water. Yeah, I
but,
and I guess Chloe hasn't, because Chloe, well, we'll get into it.
We'll get
it.
Well, that's what we're here for. So,
whatever.
So Tori Spelling, right? Melrose Place, Beverly Hills 90210. Which one of these shows was she on?
I know not. Yes. Her father was Aaron Spelling. This is what I know about Tori Spelling.
Yes. So this was like one of the, again, the season of the celebrity guest star to a certain degree. Like, they all have their own fandom, though. Like, Tori Spelling had her fandom. Little Bow Wow had his fandom. Batista had his fandom, right?
And so this is what the WB did. Like, they would just take these, like, kind of weird people that you kind of forgot about, but have these, you know, small internet, you know, web rings at the time. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, the trend continues here. And yeah, like you said, there's a lot going on in this episode. None of the three plots really intersect together. I mean, obviously the Linda Lake one is informed by the Lex-Lana Clark triangle. Mm-hmm. But still, like, we have three very distinct things going on, and they shouldn't work. But they do. They do, and we'll talk about it.
They do and they don't, but there's great bits of all of it, so...
Let's get into it. Hydro.
Hey. Thanks for finally returning one of my phone calls. How much does Lana Lang's personal life boost newspaper sales these days? Okay. I was expecting that. But to be honest, I was kind of hoping you'd give me the benefit of the doubt. I guess there's a shortage of those today.
That article recites our conversation verbatim.
Do you honestly think I would betray you like that, Lana?
What other explanation is there?
I'm not sure, but the Lana Lang I know would at least give me a chance to find one.
After Clark, I guess I'm so jaded, I don't even know what to expect from my friends anymore.
So I take it the conversation didn't go so well.
Conversation?
Clark left the town to go talk to you.
About what?
Well, I I should just put a bag over my head that says, if you want to keep a secret, don't tell me. What did he want to say? You two need to okay corral it on your own, because I've been blamed for putting words in people's mouths enough for one day.
I'm sorry I didn't trust you. I don't understand how every intimate detail of my life is being leaked into Linda Lake's column.
From what I found out, her reconnaissance techniques aren't exactly from the Journal's code of ethics. I think it's time we turn the tables on our little resident voyeur.
Hydro is the 10th episode of Smallville's 6th season. It aired on January 11th, 2007. It was written by Brian Peterson and Kelly Saunders and directed by Tom Welling.
Oh, didn't know all three of those people. Okay.
How about that?
Interesting. Wow, so they let Tom Welling go on location for this much.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
That's what struck me the most about this, because I thought it would be all, you know.
They were outside.
Didn't have the whole back lot yet, but they had that alley, you know, where Green Arrow always fought crime.
Now this is his second episode after season 5's Fragile, and he went on to direct an episode a season, basically, for the rest of the show, and I think he does a good job here. Especially, like you said, on location, outside. I mean, good job, Tom.
Yeah, totally fine.
Directing himself in a superhero costume, right? How about that?
I'll be interested to see you. Let's get to that costume, by the way. I'll be interested to see if he kind of like purposefully escalates as he directs. Because I think he directed one of the Absolute Justice episodes.
Yes.
I
don't know if it was Absolute or Justice. No, that's it's Legends. Yeah. And, oh, what's the other one? Oh. This is why
the crossover thing?
Yes, because
yeah, I forgot.
It had two titles, and this is why I always say 217, 218 episodes. People are like, "Why does he do that?" It's because that's very nebulous. Like no one really can decide if that's two episodes or what. But Hey, you'll have to stay tuned until season 9. Take away our Smallville fan card. But hey, Tom's directing here, right? And the episode starts out, and how better to style your episode, Matt? Then with stock footage from Batman Begins.
Then with Gotham City. Yeah. Now, was this the first time they did this? I couldn't remember.
To my knowledge, yes. The first time I remember it was at the end of season 8, and I thought it actually was supposed to be Gotham. I was like, oh, look at them. Being like so, it's when Lex was going around trying to get like pieces for his clock in Zurich to go to the fortress.
Right.
But I remember this, like they made the footage like bluish, you know, they color corrected it.
Exactly.
It's a rainy day in Metropolis. And they double down on this because they use it multiple times.
Same shot twice. Now this is a weird thing that I do remember from this episode, but like I remember it starting and thinking like, oh, are we in Gotham? And then instantly we're in the basement at the planet.
Disappointing. Disappointing.
Cheap. But they go on to use Slick. Or, you know, the meta power of Slick. And I'm like, wait, are we doing a thing? You know, like, what is this?
That's right. Slick from Birds of Prey. If you don't know what we're talking
about. Sorry. So sorry.
Go to patreon.com/alwaysmallville1s and hear me and Matt talk about that episode of Birds of Prey on Always Hold On to Birds of Prey.
I'm used to living on the Gotham Clock Tower level, so I'm forgive me.
Hey, you know, it's season 6, right? They've been doing this for 5+ years now. They got like, all right, we're running out of stuff. What we got? What we got in the
Water
archive?
Guy.
Pull out that show from a few years back that we were on with at the same time. Slick. So who do you like better, Linda Lake or Slick?
Oh, it's so hard to choose. I find Tori Spelling's performance more entertaining to watch, but not in a good way. Like, her acting is horrible in this episode, but it's fun to see, especially that scene with Lex that we'll get to. But just, there are so many line readings here where I'm just like, have you not heard someone say that before? You know, like, completely off.
I don't know. Now she was pregnant when they filmed this episode. She gave birth to her first child 2 months after the episode aired.
They hid her pregnancy really well.
Yeah, I mean, she's in these big coats, and then clearly, like, whenever there's a fight scene, she's, like, on the ground, you know?
Yeah, and there's behind a desk or whatever.
Right, there's other stunt doubles and stuff, so I think they did a pretty good job hiding her pregnancy, because I didn't notice it either, but yes, she shows up in very Cat Grant-esque style.
Very.
So here's a thought I had, like, why didn't they just make this Cat Grant, and then make her not be Slick, and actually have an interesting story.
I mean, that's a better story. I don't know how you, like, reset it at the end when she hears Chloe say, you know, she already knows that Clark's a Kryptonian or whatever.
Well, I mean, Jimmy Olsen is on this show right now, Matt. True. That's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, just get Tracy Scoggins in here to play Cat Grant. That's my fan redo of this episode. Tracy Scoggins is Cat Grant, and she's the gossip reporter at the Daily Planet. She's not a meteor freak. She just uses, I don't know, like, technology or some way to get this information. And then mm-hmm. I think you have a more compelling story. Because I think, honestly, the meteor power thing is the weakest part of the episode. Because it's such a half-baked, oh, you were in Smallville.
Fell in a lake.
For the second meteor shower. I hate when people get powers for
the second meteor shower.
But anyway, all that to say, so I got on the Cat, in addition to it, her being the gossip columnist for the Daily Planet, I got on the Cat Grant train because the way she arrives here, the Daily Planet, it's good direction, right? You get the comes mm-hmm. out of the elevator. It's very Devil Wears Prada, the heels and all that. And I'm thinking of Calista Flockhart on Supergirl. I'm like, her showing up in her private elevator. That's where my mind goes after watching this in 2020. Now after Supergirl,
well, no one's more excited about your rewrite than Tracy Scoggins, let me tell you. So I'm behind it. But in the meantime, we've got this very odd, meteor freak. I do love the Linda Lake name. I like that we're going LL. With the comic book thing. I like that we're going with the LL. But, mm-hmm. Like, I appreciate these little comic-y bits here.
Yes. Now, she goes into the basement of the Daily Planet and has Chloe like, I need all these scans by tomorrow before my mocha turns Arctic. I'm like, all right, here we go. What a slick one-liner. And Chloe's like, hey, I am a reporter. I'm not like a copier. And I do like Elena Lake doesn't even know who she is. She's like, listen here, Sullivan, looks down on her name tag. So you establish this character right off the top, and you know what she's all about, and you either go with it if you don't. And I remember not liking this episode very much, but I'm like, all right, maybe I was in the right headspace this time, but fine. You know, this is what they're doing. And no offense to you, Matt, but this is very Lois and Clark-esque. Like, and
totally.
It's flavor, if you will, right? I mean, yes, it feels like, goofy stuff.
Right. But so much of what Smallville becomes is Lois and Clark. Like, so it's odd true. In these earlier seasons. And I know we're in the like last half of the show technically right now, right. But it's odd when they start kind of dipping their toe into that, like,
right.
Well, the plot doesn't matter, but here we go. Cookie stuff, you know? Yeah.
Now Chloe pulls out this paper, kind of calls out Linda Lake for destroying people's lives because she found out an athlete had done steroids. This was a big deal in the early 2000s, right?
Performance enhancing. Somewhat topical, yeah.
And Linda Lake's like, gets all offended. She's like, well, it's true, and it gets published every week, and blah, blah, blah. So she storms out.
I love who gets published on page one of section B every week.
Gotta love that clarification, right? But she's, there's, I don't know if it's like a directorial thing or a script thing, but it's always raining and she's water, so I guess
I think
there's
it's
something
just a
to be said there.
Thing. I felt like, so bad for them when
it's
they're
gonna
like
rain this week,
up.
Guys. We have to write it into the episode.
Yeah, but like also like we're gonna have this big thing where like she has to be near water, so we're gonna have a fountain. Oh, we didn't need it because everything is soaking wet right now.
That's a great point. You know, they could have just had her go into a pool of water.
Yeah,
but the athlete who she had written the article about, the expose about, confronts her. Outside.
Yes.
And, you know, to be fair, she does have a point. The guy's like, you destroyed my life. And she's like, well, you should have thought about that before you juiced up. I'm like, well, that's a valid point, actually.
Sure.
I mean, she's a very sleazy journalist here, but the dude was breaking the rules and got exposed for it. So,
right. Though we know that at least we assume that she got this information through nefarious means, through mm-hmm. metahuman watery means, right?
Yes, because it's what, been a year and a half since the second meteor shower on Dark Thursday.
Right. So she's got this covered at this point.
That wasn't Dark Thursday. That was graduation
it's
day.
Just this, yeah, sort of commencement.
Yeah, exactly, commencement day. So he threatens her, and she runs away. And
yes.
presumably to like, I know what I'll do. I'll go hide in this fountain? Like, was that her? Right.
And by the way, she outruns the roided-up football player, so good for her.
I mean, he is going kind of like Terminator Michael Myers, like, all right, she's going to run, I'm just going
to... There's a lumber to it.
There's yeah, we're doing it. You can't see us, but we're doing the shoulder back and forth. He eventually does run a little more near the end. And like you said, you know, I didn't even think about this, Matt. That's a great point. Like, Tom is out here in Vancouver somewhere, downtown, filming this stuff in a plaza, right?
He's under a tent though. Good for him. Yeah.
You know, I was not thinking this when I saw it, but you know, we have our new Gotham fill in the blank over on Always Along the Birds of Prey. They have a sign near this fountain. This is Bank of Metropolis. I was like, good for you.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they took out whatever was there. You know,
yeah,
Bank of
the
Vancouver.
City Bank or whatever. Yeah.
And then you know we see it's. It's, you know, I would call it T-1000, but it's a pre-T-1000. It's like The Abyss. If anyone's seen The Abyss, it's
oh, sure.
James Cameron's movie before Terminator 2, where he tested all his effects for Terminator 2.
Right.
You know, so it's like just, and there's water, you know, forms and whatnot. And we see this, and hey, look, you know what? CGI looks pretty good, because it's water.
It's not terrible. I mean, honestly, Slick looked worse, so, I mean... A few years ago.
Right.
This is always an Alex Mack to me, though. Like
the secret life
not,
of Alex Mack.
It's not
yes.
like reflective goo. It still feels feels like that.
But football player guy, I guess he's like, I guess she went in the fountain because right. he goes over to it and then gets pulled in and drowns to death. Where he yes. gets drowned by, by her. And I don't know. Like I think they do a pretty good job of... doing the whole she's water and we don't see her for like most of the episode, but then near the end they just get kind of lazy. Maybe they didn't have the budget, I don't know, but it's just like
they I mean it's we know the budget of this show that they can't do it every time. They establish it once or twice and then it goes to a lot of like filming water seeking through and then reversing the shot so the water goes
reversing
back
the
and,
shot,
you know, like the one that killed me is like later on she appears behind Chloe and there's just like some water seeping out of her pants and then we pan up to her and it's just like oh, she just became
she
her
in there?
Again. Yeah, exactly.
But then we go to the open credits and we come back to the same shot that we opened the episode with.
From the Narrows.
Like what do you, oh, but hey, they flipped it horizontally. So they're like,
oh,
maybe
I didn't
they won't
see that.
Yeah, maybe they won't know.
Jesus.
We flip it. I get it. I get we're on a budget.
But don't we have like CGI establishing of the Daily, oh no, maybe we've never seen the Daily Planet in the rain.
Yeah,
not till Infamous.
But they just add rain over the shot digitally. Like it's so easy.
Okay.
But anyway.
They have a beautiful shot of it in Infamous, and I can't wait to talk about it.
That's why he's here. That's why you're here.
This is long con.
So Lana has come to visit Chloe at the Daily Planet, and Chloe's like, oh, you didn't come down here to help me, blah, 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 blah. And Lana's like, hey, Lex proposed. It's like, oh.
Right.
We didn't talk about that last episode because that was filmed before the episode where he proposed to you. So now we're going to talk about it. And interesting stuff here because Lana's like, she says, Lex asked me to marry him, but there's something that wouldn't let me say yes, right? And maybe it's the Smallville marketing materials that made me think this because this is why they edit it. They always put like, she says this. I don't know if this is for DVD or what it's for. But like she says this, and then you cut to Clark asking her to marry him, but from Reckoning, and the implication is like because that other timeline exists, she knows that she, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. That's where my mind.
Oh, interesting.
Also, Lex is evil. Maybe that's
right.
The reason why he shouldn't.
I
say
was
yes.
thinking about Reckoning, but like because she says at one point to Chloe, when I was with Clark, I wouldn't have. Hesitated, or I would have said yes without hesitating, and I'm like,
right.
"We know, girl."
Yeah. So
terrible.
I mean, that is terrible. That you, but here's the deal, right? And this is why I was more impressed with this episode rewatching it. Maybe it's because I've had more life experience in relationships. I don't know, but you know,
well, tell me about your life experience.
Yeah. but I'm saying it's like at least they're acknowledging all this awkwardness because I feel like so many other episodes everybody's just like, oh well, yeah, I'm like no this is a really messed up situation that you all should understand, and at least they're verbalizing their understanding of how it's complicated.
Totally.
And actually I feel bad for Lana here, to be honest, because Clark is the one that pushed her away and led her to Lex, and she's had her regrets, but now she thinks she's pregnant.
Right.
Okay. And that's the main thing that's kind of keeping her on the hook, as we find out. Even Clark understands that at the
right.
end. So I don't know, like, I just appreciate the fact we're addressing this stuff now, because it's like Lana and Chloe should have been talking about this a lot more this season, and finally they address it here.
So. Right, right. I did forget, too, how much I like Dark Lana in this episode. Like,
yeah.
But she also, she's got some, like, I know people don't like it, and I know the Lex storyline is weird, but, like, at least it gives her a little agency. Like, she's kind of standing up for herself for the first time in a while, like, this version mm-hmm. of Lana, and I really appreciate it. And obviously she's conflicted here and needs a friend, but especially later on in the episode when she's kind of standing her ground, mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, this it's not where I thought Lana Lang was going to go, but I get it, and she's doing a great job with it.
Mm-hmm. Now, so it's a good heart-to-heart between a long overdue
totally.
Heart-to-heart
Sorry.
Between Lana and Chloe. No,
ahead.
Absolutely. And then they walk out the door, and what do you see? You see the
Bubbles.
Water cooler bubble. And I'm like, so Linda Lake was in the water cooler?
Just hangs out in the water cooler so
in
that she
basement?
Can hear the hot gossip at the Daily Planet basement?
Maybe.
I don't know. Well, I have a worse, like a bigger question of like why is Linda Lake here later on?
Okay.
But we'll get there.
Wasn't Slick in a water cooler as well?
Slick was in the puddle underneath the water cooler.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
So there, it wasn't stupid.
Okay. So now there is one deleted scene for this episode. And it would have taken place here in between our next two scenes. So in the episode, we cut to an exterior of the Talon, and it's the morning, apparently. And Jimmy goes out to the back alley where all the stuff
yes.
goes down in Smallville and has his contact with Lois. Now, there's a deleted scene that happened immediately before this, and it has Jimmy waking up in Chloe and Lois' apartment.
Okay.
And him and Chloe are in the bed, and he like kind of tries to sneak out of the bed, and then Lois is also there because they both live there. And my question is, where does everybody sleep? But anyway, Lois and Jimmy are arguing about who is going to use the bathroom first because they're both running late for something. And then Chloe wakes up, and they're like, "Why don't you go downstairs and get us a coffee?" And she's like, "I think you two are trying to get rid of me." And they're like, "I don't know." Yeah. And I'm like, it's like, wait, was there a subplot where Jimmy and Lois are having an affair? that's how the scene plays. Maybe that's why they cut it. Maybe they cut it for time. It's just very awkward.
Yeah, it just sounds odd. But so both of them were getting ready to then not
yeah.
know it and go meet each other downstairs.
Right. It's a classic Who's Got Mail scenario.
Yes.
And
Who's so got mail?
Jimmy goes downstairs. By the way, recently watched The Shop Around the Corner, which You've Got Mail is based
You've
off.
Got
it's,
mail.
It's a Jimmy Stewart like romantic comedy.
Oh,
it takes
I
place
didn't know
around
that.
Christmas time from the 40s. Yeah.
Would watch.
And it's on HBO Max. And
okay.
it's really good. Like, anyway, just throwing that out
I
there.
I love it. I
so,
love a Jimmy Stewart.
If you're looking
movie.
For a non Christmas movie, Shop Around the Corner. It's a great screwball romantic comedy of the 1940s. So
from the same service that brings you Die Hard and Batman Returns now. So
absolutely. So that should be on the Christmas list. Is Gremlins on there? Is that a WB film?
Oh, it's a WB film, but I don't know if it's on there.
You know what a great Christmas movie is that
Watch
nobody
it be
talks
on Peacock
about?
Or something
I know.
Stupid.
You know what? And we'll finish this tangent here. Jaws the Revenge. It's a Christmas movie. Look it up. Anyway, we
really?
Move on.
Okay.
On your unorthodox Christmas movies, Mount Rushmore. There you go. So anyway.
Jaws right next to Batman.
Yes. So Jimmy goes out to this back alley where everything goes down in Smallville. And he's like, Scoop Girl.
Scoop Girl.
And he's like, something boy 89 or something.
Right.
And they turn around and they realize, oh, it's you. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I love the disappointment of like, oh God, really? You know.
And this is the beginning of something that always annoyed me. I know when Lance and I used to watch the episodes back in the day, I was like, oh, here's another episode of Lois and Jimmy looking into stuff. Or it's like because the thing is, there's these at this point there are these comic relief characters, and they have to be kept out of the loop because they can't know all the big secrets.
Sure.
So they have to be played as idiots. so many times, and it got annoying to me later on. And I'm thinking, now here it didn't really bother me, but like I just remember like in season 7, I was really getting annoyed by it. So that's
at
all.
Least here, like they have to be outsmarted this time. Like they're actually onto it,
right?
This
no,
time.
They're competent this time. And yeah, maybe I'm misremembering it. I say that now because I want y'all to go on the journey.
Oh, no,
with
it
me.
Sounds about right. I'm not fighting you, but.
I want y'all to go on the journey with me about how I feel about this, because these are characters that haven't really interacted much up to this point, you know. Right. But it makes sense if like they both are journalists and they're both investigating things, and obviously, hey, it's Lois Lane and Henry James Olsen, and so those are two iconic Superman characters right there.
Kinda.
Now he gives her these photos, and it's interesting that they're photos of the Green Arrow.
Yes.
And it makes me think of the series finale, because we have to spoil the series finale, as you know, Matt, as you know.
Let's discuss, yeah.
In every episode of this show, when Jimmy Olsen, not this Jimmy Olsen, has pictures of Superman, but they're not good pictures of Superman. And Lois is like,
focus or whatever.
I want pecs, I want S, I want pearly whites.
Oh, right, yeah.
And he's like, oh, yes, I'm slaying, right? And so that's what I thought of, because he hands over this, it's so funny, because it's this vanilla envelope, right, of pictures. And it's these giant printed out pictures, because this is, I guess, would people still do this, Matt? I guess not in 2020.
The ones giant printed out pictures. I know. Yeah. I haven't met somebody in an alley in so long. It's just not safe to do it right now.
That's no. It's actually 6 feet apart.
I don't remember. Yeah.
But yeah, and it makes me think of what is, well, yeah, Reckoning, when, you know, Lionel pulls out the giant picture and John looks
right.
at it, right?
Yep.
I'm like, what are these giant pictures in Smallville? But they're pictures of the Green Arrow, and they're just of like, it's like if you get a picture of the Loch Ness Monster, it's like a flipper.
But it's also like so close. Like, why did you get so, how were you so close to this?
See, as
know?
A photographer,
like,
I can
flank.
I can explain. Like, clearly he was like on the 135 fixed lens.
Okay,
and he was too close. And he couldn't back up. Now, his mistake was not being on a wide lens or a zoom lens. That's your mistake.
I'm going to be the Kevin Smith of this and go, I don't know what the lenses do, but I trust you. Can we talk about this costume, though?
Let's talk about this costume.
Now,
you have some experience with this costume.
I do. You know that I've cosplayed as this costume. I love this costume very much. Is this the first time it's had sleeves?
That is an excellent point.
And I think they have sleeves to hide the fact that Tom Welling's arms are so damn big that they, like, you could tell that it wasn't Justin Hartley when he's there next to Lois, you know?
Now, that is an excellent point, Matt, because in Smallville, the official companion, season 6, by Craig Byrne, available wherever books are sold, Justin Hartley had this to say about Tom wearing his costume. It's a little embarrassing, but Tom could not even fit in my costume. I thought, this is cool, man. I've been working out. I'm looking pretty good. But then Tom has to wear the costume, and he's huge. He's just a big dude, and he's got a lot more muscle than I do. In the end, he had to wear my stunt guy's outfit, which is basically my outfit, but bigger, because it's made to put pads under it. So it's actually a lot bigger. I was like, you jerk. I'm going to look like the size medium. But that's all right. He just got lucky. That's all. So that must be it.
Okay. Because I'm pretty sure this is the first time the sleeves show up. And they only, because they must be zippered off, because they only do the sleeves like start of season 8 again, and like a few maybe other times, but it's very rare for the sleeves to be on.
And they do the reverse thing on Arrow, the show, because he has sleeves, and then in season 4 he has no sleeves,
right?
And they're like, no, give him the sleeves back. So what it's so interesting here, because there's a huge thing made about he has this gash on his arm, right?
Right.
I'm thinking Spider-Man, by the way, Peter Parker. How'd you get that? Bike messenger.
Yes.
Had to beat an old lady with a stick to get these cranberries. I also say that every Thanksgiving, whenever I can. But anyway, Thanksgiving movies, Spider-Man, look it up. Anyway, no. If he didn't have sleeves, it'd make more sense if his arm got slashed. But the whole crux of this thing is his arm got slashed.
Yeah.
He's wearing sleeves. But anyway, that's a clue, and file that away for later. But then we cut back, quote-unquote, back inside, because if the episode had been done as intended, you would have seen Chloe go downstairs and like her. That's why Chloe looks like she just got out of bed, because she did. She's wearing like a hoodie and all that. And it's a little disheveled.
This is why you listen to this show, folks.
That's right. That's what you come here for. I'm trying to deliver. So Chloe picks up the Daily Planet, and she finds Daily Dish with Linda Lake, Luther proposal on hold for X-Flame. And it has their conversation
graphics.
Verbatim.
Right.
Like, when I was with Clark, I would have said yes without hesitating. And you're right, the graphics are... But it's so spot on for a gossip column, isn't it, Matt?
Sure, but, like, why did she post... where did she find this picture of Clark Kent? Is it not ridiculous that Clark's, like, promo photo is in the middle of this Daily Planet piece? I just, like, I always see that and go, like, no one cares about this. You know, like, no one cares about this farm boy.
Right, well, we'll take a screenshot of all these newspaper headlines for everyone to see.
Oh, please check it out, yes.
But yes, I couldn't, to this episode's credit, I could not immediately identify, like, oh, that's this shot from this episode. So maybe they just took them... Or maybe they had extra ones lying around.
Way, but I'm truly, like, I don't think you can. Well, maybe you can. He was a big college football guy.
Well, here's the problem,
high school,
right?
Football.
Here's the big problem. When Clark Kent in the future is like, oh, hey, I'm gonna have glasses and I'm just a nerd. Like, we have newspaper article here of, like, you looking just like, so all you need is Lois Lane from the Richard Donner cut, drawing some glasses and a fedora on you, and somebody's gonna jump out a window and find out you're Superman. Not to mention Lex Luthor, who's had his mind erased. It's like, well, let me look up my life. Let me look up the Daily Planet. Oh, what's this? Like, it's just, think about these things.
Yeah, because it's not the Smallville Torch or you know, the Smallville High Torch
the
or the
Daily
Smallville
Planet.
Ledger. This is a great metropolitan newspaper.
I thought, you know, a theory that I thought they might do one day, because these are the things that you talk about when you're watching Small for 10 years and you're on, like, the Krypton site forums.
Sure,
and you're like,
yeah.
Well, how are they going to explain all this one day, right? I'm like, maybe, like, Smallville High School will burn down, right? And then, like, all the archives. No, seriously, though. Like, all the stuff Clark did in high school, or the Smallville Ledger, one of those newspapers will burn down. Right. Maybe a missile strike will come and destroy it.
Why not? There's a silo very close to there.
Well, I was referring to season 10 when they blow up the Talon.
Oh, God, right.
They literally do that.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Or, Matt, or they burn down Luther Mansion. So, right. But anyway... Then that would have, like, okay, no one can go look in the archives of Smallville Torch or Smallville Ledger. But no, right. As you said, this is the Daily Planet. These archives are there forever. But anyway, we're going on down all these rabbit holes, but these are things you think about.
This is why we can't live in these worlds, because we just poke holes in it all the time.
But we love it anyway.
Oh, my God, yes.
But Clark comes in. He's like, hey, Chloe, what's up? And Chloe's like, let you find out about this in the Daily Planet. Lex has Lana to marry him. And Clark's like, well, what'd she say?
Okay. Yeah.
And Chloe's like, well, she hasn't given him an answer yet. And then Clark looks at the newspaper and he's like, oh.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, Clark, he's like, nah, it's because of me. That can't be true. Like, he really has tried to move on, but this sucks him back in, doesn't it, Matt?
Yeah, as it would. Like, I this whole time I've been watching this episode, I'm just screaming at the screen, like, this is your last chance, dude. You know, like, try. And he does here at in this case, you know, to his credit, he goes to the Luther Mansion, which I think is the next scene, and tries to see her, but of course is blocked.
Well, yeah, so, like, doesn't he have her number? Like, just try to call her.
We don't call anybody. We go 3 hours if we have to go talk to somebody.
But Chloe calls. The reason I thought about this is because Chloe calls Lana in the next scene. Right. And being someone who didn't remember this episode, because I've seen it, like, again, most of these season 6 episodes I've seen twice. Outside of justice, right? I'm like, oh, the Clark caller? No, it's Chloe on her on a lot of Sprint phone, by the way. We'll take a
noticed.
Sprint phone. But I'm like, no, it's not Clark. It's Chloe. I would not have thought about that had they not had another character call her. But you're right. So Clark does go to the mansion. But right before that, at the mansion, Lex brings her breakfast in bed. I'm like, oh, no, Lex. I know what you're doing. And he brings her breakfast in bed. And Lana's like, oh, you didn't have to do that. And there's the copy of the Daily Planet right there.
Right there.
And I like how Lex plays this. I don't know, like, here's the thing with Lex. He gets really pathetic when it comes to Lana. Like, that's his huge weakness. But even still here, he is at least being a little like, hey, like, this is not cool, right? So
right. There's some weird... I just thought Michael was a little off in this episode, honestly, watching it, because I love his performance, and especially in the next episode, by the way, in Justice, he's great. He's so much fun with it. But this felt a little off to me. But you're right. Like, here he is bringing some heat. He's got some menace to him. He's got some disappointment. It's not overt, but if you know what he's done in the past, it's there, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And Lana doesn't even try to, like... dispute this. She's like, oh, "Well, I'm sorry you found out this way." I'm like, "No, no, no! Right. This is a gossip call. Can't you say, like, I don't know what this means? Like, you could have fought back a little more." But
she doesn't want secrets and lies, dude. You know, like, please.
But then, you know, and that's interesting you say that about Rosenbaum. I thought he was good, especially in the last scene, but we'll get there. But this is where Chloe calls Lana, and then somebody calls, Diggle comes in to tell Lex. That's what I'm going to refer to all of Lex's bodyguards as Diggle now. Diggle comes in to tell Lex, "Mr. Luthor, you have a visitor," right?
Right.
And we know who it's going to be, right? And, you know, Lex goes out to see Lana. Lets Chloe's call go to voicemail as we get another shot.
Yeah, that's another thing too. Like, we can do calls here, but we're not going to talk on the phone. We're just going to look at it.
Is this product placement, Pete? Since we see Sprint twice,
I think
on a
so because we all both right. noticed it was Sprint.
Have they not done it two shots in a row? I would have let it go, but it's like no, no, right. no.
It's not so. Like AccuView to the rescue bad, but it's it's up there.
This episode of Smallville brought to you by Sprint. Send in your Sprint 411.call and go to the cast of Smallville.
Oh, is that a thing?
I don't know. It might be. It might as well be. Oh, man. But Clark's standing there in the Luthor library. He's kind of like excited because he thinks he's going to see Lana, right? We've all been there.
Yes.
We've all gone to our ex-girlfriend's fiance's house waiting for her to come out and talk to us, right?
Been really oh, my God. Excited. All the time before COVID. Yeah.
So Lex comes out and Clark's like, "Oh, I thought Lana was here." And Lex lies to him. He's like, "Oh, she was. You just missed her, right?"
Let's talk about that, too, because the bodyguard comes in, and there's no, like, Miss Lang anything. It's all, "Mr. Luthor, you have a visitor." So I feel mm-hmm. like there's a, like, if Clark Kent shows up here, no matter who he's asking for, just mm-hmm. tell me I have a visitor. Like, don't say his name. Don't do anything. I'm going to mm-hmm. deal with him. It felt like yeah. such a, like, it was interesting. It might have just been, like, a weird script thing. But in my head, I'm just like, oh, he's prepared for Clark to show up.
And I agree. I think he has an understanding with his security staff, who is actually did their job properly this right. time and kept
if
Clark.
If you see a handsome man in plaid, just tell him it's for me.
He wears three collars if you see anyone mm-hmm. like this. Now, I like the scene between Clark and Lex because
I did too.
A lot of the episodes, like, here's the thing. These are your main characters, your big three at this point in the show, Clark, Lex, right. and Lana. And the problem now is, everybody doesn't like each other, so you can't have scenes with them. And you have to find excuses. And I find a lot of the excuses they have to have scenes together very, like, contrived, right?
Right.
But here it makes perfect sense. So Clark is here, like, not to... "Lex, talk to me about this project from..." No.
Right.
No. This is about you, me, and Lana. I'm going to talk about this, right? And I like this, because I like it when Clark... Of course, this always happens. Clark, he's assertive, and then he just gets... bitch slapped down.
Smacked down. Yep.
He's like, "It must be killing you that she didn't give you an answer." And Lex is like, you can tell that he's thinking about us. I think Rosenbaum does good here, though, because you can tell he's like, am I going to drop the... Yes, now's the time. Now I'm going to drop this bomb on him.
And he's like, "Well, carrying my child.
I highly doubt she'll say no, Clark, because she's carrying my child." And you can see, like, well, he doesn't do much, but, like, it's enough to like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can see it. And it stings.
Mark Snow does the heavy lifting in that moment, but yeah, totally.
You know, speaking of Lois and Clark, right? Lex mm-hmm. proposes to Lois in that show, and she also does not give him an answer. So I don't know. Like, you'd think a megalomaniac like Lex Luthor would be really offended if someone didn't say yes immediately.
Sure. But I mean,
like, he really wants these. He really wants these relationships to work. So he's like, "All right, I'll wait."
Yeah, and they both get to the wedding day. Obviously, the Lois and Clark one goes a little differently.
That's right, kids. Again, Smallville relationship advice. No answer is an answer. There you go. But you know what? We cut to commercial after this. We didn't have... I was waiting for, like, Clark to storm out or something, but I like it when you don't see characters arrive or leave, mostly leave, because you imagine more was said after that, perhaps.
Screenwriting 101, right?
Because if you, again, Smallville, so many times, as you mentioned, Matt, we drive 3 hours. Somebody shows up, they talk for 30 seconds, mm-hmm. and then they leave. So, small thing, but I like that we cut the commercial after this. And that's a huge stinger, because the stakes have been raised, right?
Right.
Clark now knows that Lana is pregnant.
Let's get back to that. I keep jumping ahead. Anyway.
Yeah. So we cut to commercial. We come back, and we're at the Daily Planet, and Chloe is talking to Jimmy, and they've been investigating the death of the sports star. Apparently, Jimmy was a big fan of his back in the day. And you know, and I'm starting to not like Chloe in here, because she's just always so condescending to Jimmy. She's like, "Well, Jimmy, this is crazy." I'm like, Chloe. Like, you're not trying to protect Clark's secret here. You're just being a jerk to your boyfriend, right?
It feels like when Mulder doesn't believe a thing, and it's like, really, dude? Because she is the Mulder of this, you know? Like, it's so odd to me.
Yeah, because there's other things where she's trying to protect Clark. I'm like, oh, okay. But, you know, I'm already not on board with Chloe and Jamie's relationship. Because, you know, at this time back in the show, I wanted Chloe and Clark to be together. And then
you're poisoned by this. Okay.
And then it's like, you're just all like, you guys are not on equal footing here. And then, and then these kind of situations always remind me of that. Cause Chloe's like, oh, Jimmy, you're just being dumb. Right. I'm like,
I do believe that Chloe is the type that wants a puppy dog as a boyfriend though. You know, like I always kind of dug this relationship, or at least understood it.
Well, hey, it lasts for 3 years until he dies. Anyway,
until he's impaled by Doomsday.
This show. But anyway, Jimmy brings it home to Chloe, like, hey, he lied down at a koi pond and called it a day, right? I mean, he's, why would someone on Roid Rage do that, right? Because she's like, well, maybe he just committed suicide. He's had a tough life, right? But anyway, Jimmy's not buying it, and that raises their red flags about Linda Lake. And then we have our micro subplot about Linda Lake's office being renovated. Which only exists for there to be a nail gun at the end, I guess, Matt?
Honestly, I think so. And just to show that she's like, she gets all she wants. And like, I am always page one, section B of this rag. Like, you'll give me my koi pond in my office or whatever, water feature. This is the scene where I was just like, oh, she's atrocious acting wise. And she's bringing Michael down with her.
The poor guy. Yeah. She freaks out because her stuff's not going to be finished in time. And she tells the construction people to get out. But Lex comes to see her, right? And yeah, this is kind of a lame scene. But bottom line, Lex comes here to get her to investigate Clark and Lana.
Yeah, and get like blank check from Daddy Luther. Just rips a check out and it's just like, fill in whatever you want. I just want to know everything about Clinton.
But like, haven't we been down this road before about Lex investigating? Like, but she already...
He's got a room. What's she going to find? Yeah.
Clearly, she's already investigated. And that's how she knows this. Like this scene should have been, how do you know this? Right? Like, this scene is all wrong.
Sure. Oh, good point.
Yep. But that is, I guess, to set up why she is in Smallville later on to see Chloe and Clark talk. But again, Lana doesn't live there, and Clark doesn't live there. So why is she hanging out in Chloe and Lois's bathroom, Matt?
At Clark's friend's apartment? That's the one where I was just like, why are you here?
But hey, guess who else is in this episode? Special guest star Justin Hartley is Oliver
Queen.
Hell
yes.
So here we go, right? We get to the Gotham Clock Tower level here. And Oliver is doing yoga with Lois. And I liked how, you know, they had made fun of him doing yoga before. Right. And now she's doing it. And she's like, oh, it's harder than it looks. So
I thought you said it was stretching with chants or whatever. Yeah. I love Loever, whatever.
I do as well.
I just love this stuff so much. She's so fun with him, and it kills me that it's done in the next episode, you know.
But it comes back a little bit. Well, not in a romantic way, but they have, you know, they have
their moment in season 7.
Yeah, later on for sure. Yeah, I love this relationship as well. And again, like, this is like me in season 6 of Smallville. I'm like, well, just have Oliver and Lois be together, and Clark and Chloe can be together. It's so perfect.
Lois Lane becomes the Black Canary, and all is right with the world.
Right? No, she becomes Stiletto. But anyway, we have our Batman Returns. Oh no, you found out my secret identity by an injury. We're making out scene here. I got also Spider-Man with, again, it's the same thing. It's the same gadget on his arm.
It's a good, I love it.
I do too. I love it too. They do, again, Oliver's Batman. Black on black. That's hard to pull off. Mistletoe is deadly if you eat it. We'll get there in season 8, right? Or 9?
Do they do a mistletoe line?
No, it's in season 9. It's Checkmate. It's when Tess and Oliver find out who each other are. And instead of the mistletoe line from Batman Returns, they say black on black. That's hard to pull off, right? That's their, it can be deadly if you eat it.
Oh, crazy.
But
I don't remember that.
Can be even deadlier if you mean it.
Deadlier if you mean it.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
That
Batman
dance
Returns.
Scene. God damn, I get chills.
So they're making out. It's pretty hot and heavy as they tend to do. I mean, we got two extremely attractive people here on the
dumb pretty people. Yeah. Oh my God.
Plus one for shirtless Oliver though. because we got that shirt off.
Oh, fun.
And then Lois sees his big gash on his arm, and his excuse is fencing, it broke off, and, you know, nothing kills the mood like lying to your girlfriend about you being a superhero, because they were about to, you know, do it, as we say on this show. And
yeah, and why would she run off, by the way? Like, yeah.
She's like, all right, well, I'm going to go investigate, and then she, you know, she runs to the elevator, pulls out the giant pictures, and looks at it immediately. And it's like, yes, that's the same scar. So, feel bad for Oliver here. He's like, what did I do?
Right. He's done all this stretching and stuff. He's ready to go.
That's all this stretching was leading up to that. And that's all wasted now. But yes, we get the music swells because it's like, Lois knows he's the Green Arrow now.
Right.
So then we get to back to the Kent farm, and Clark has gone back there after seeing Lex. He clearly is upset, and Lois is there, and she's like,
Lois just hanging out in the barn.
Hanging out in the barn, waiting for somebody to show up, right?
Yep.
And she's like, sorry about the article, it sucks. And he's like, I guess that's what reporters do. And I like what she said. She's like, oh, that rim shot or whatever ricocheted off Linda Lake and hit me. So that's a good good line there. Rim, not a rim shot, but some kind of spot shot or
bank shot. Are you asking shot? Me to correct the sports thing? I don't know.
So Clark's like, oh, I'm sorry. It's been a tough day. People keep seeing us for a reason, Lois. And then we get another monologue from Lois that they have to stretch it out this way to make you think that she knows a secret.
I
why do they do this, Matt?
I won't let you say anything bad about this. I know it's just prequel talk or whatever, but I think it works really nicely here. I think that the her commenting on secrets are just a pit stop to lying or whatever the hell she says. Mm-hmm. And then this whole like, well, what if you found out that one of your friends was secretly, you know, had a hero complex or whatever? I love it. He's getting hot under the collar. He's really worried about it. I think it's not forced here. It's part of the story she's digging on. I like this reference to their future here. I think it's fun.
I don't mind because we know where she's coming from. When there's
it's just random.
When there's other scenes like this in Smallville where it's like, why are you talking this way? You know, it's like, what would you say if so? But we already know what's led up to this. Like, sometimes other episodes start, and it's like their first scene, and they just show up, and Lois is like, hey, Clark,
right. What
if I told you that your best friend was an alien? Like, what? What are you talking about, Lois? But we've gone through this, you know, we've had some scenes, like, it's organic here. I agree with you. It's good. And it's funny, Clark's like, who are we talking about here?
Sorry. Yeah.
And she's like, well, Oliver, he's the Green Arrow. And Clark's like, Oliver? And she's like, oh, these pictures, the timestamp was exactly when he snuck out the other night and that kind of thing, right? I was wondering, because I'd forgotten what episode Chloe finds out that he's the Green Arrow. I'm like, okay, this is the one. Because this, as Lance and I joked about, of course, because Lance was guest on many episodes this season, we kept joking about how Clark had told Chloe, well, Oliver Queen still owes me one a few episodes ago. And Chloe should be like, why? Because she doesn't know that Clark protected his secret.
Funny, I thought she like totally knew by now because she seems to be.
She finds out this episode. That's why she's so delighted when Jimmy's saying, "Oh, he's like he sped away and he threw a guy 20 feet." And
okay, so she finds out because of the fact that Clark
impersonated Green
was
Arrow
was him. Yeah. She figured
now
that
she
out.
Knew okay. that he knew the identity, but there's, you know, honor among superheroes, right?
Of course. Of course.
But whoever wrote that one scene didn't know that because they were like, well, Chloe knows all Clark's secrets, right? So anyway, because that's how Chloe got the satellite data from Dark Thursday to find the picture of Raya and all that stuff, right? And all the
right.
other phantoms.
Okay.
Because Oliver Queen stole old Clark one. For what? We don't know.
Who's to say?
Yeah. Who's to say? And I say all that because the next scene is Clark has broken into Lois and Chloe's apartment, going through Lois's stuff. I don't know where Lois is. She's not there.
Who's to say?
But
she's off not having sex with Oliver. Yeah.
Exactly. And then Chloe refers to him as the new pledge of their hero fraternity or whatever. You're covering for him, right? So this is like, oh, that's right. Chloe doesn't know yet. And you know what? I like the scene a lot between Clark and Chloe. I wish there was more scenes like this. And this is what I'm talking about. This episode, what elevates it for me, it's like they're actually addressing all this stuff that's going on you know, right. Because he mentions that, yeah, Lois and Jimmy are on the trail because, you know, Lois had mentioned Jimmy took these pictures, and Chloe's like, Jimmy. And then Clark's like, I guess we all have secrets to keep. You should know that better than anyone. Burn! Because he's like, you knew Lana was pregnant, didn't you? Right? And, you know, Chloe, she has a moment here. She breaks down. She's like, look, I'm sorry if I took 2 seconds to breathe. Everybody's a hypocrite. They all ask me to keep their secrets, but then gives me attitude when I try to keep other people's. And then Clark realizes, you know, he went a step too far, and they hug. And of course, she says the very important phrase, I'm too busy hiding the fact that you're an alien from another planet. But I like the scene, Matt. I like it.
I do, too. It's a very genuine moment, and then you realize why it's kind of contrived.
It's there, right. But I want longer and more scenes like this, because this mm-hmm. adds a human element and kind of grounds the show more. And that's what, in the earlier seasons, we grounded the show.
I agree. You know, I love this type of stuff where it's just like we get to kind of live in the world and feel how crazy it would be to walk around with the secret every day, especially when you're working for a newspaper and you're all about uncovering things, but you've got to keep this stuff quiet. And it for Chloe, it really does suck because it tangles into like every one of her friendships is affected by the fact that she's keeping the secret, especially her friendship with Pool of Water herself, Linda Lake, in the bathroom.
Linda Lake. Now, I love how you pointed out earlier. We see this pool of water come
this
out.
This is the cheap one, yeah.
And they don't make the water go back in. No, they reverse the shot,
reverse
my friends.
Reverse the shot.
There's a water flows a certain way.
It's so odd to look at.
But yes, Linda Lake had been in Lois and Chloe's bathroom and heard this entire thing. Now, I do like...
And again, because because Lex put her onto it, so she's spying on Clark in his friend and her
cousin's apartment. Did she follow Clark
apartment?
To the Talon? That's the only explanation.
Okay, sure. I just... the whole thing was set up so weird. Like, that tub is overflowing, so I'm like, is Chloe to have a bath?
She came through the pipes? Like,
yeah, what is happening?
No, no, right? Oh, man. But, you know, a couple last things on this scene. I do like how Chloe's like, you know, you had that coming, you know, to Clark. Because Clark, you know, he asks a lot, especially for Chloe, and, you know, and just assumes that she's going to help him, right?
Yep.
And takes it for granted a lot, in many ways, right? And then,
but this is a nice, like you're saying, this is a nice clearing of the air moment.
Absolutely.
They have their little hug. It's sweet.
And then he says, I prefer Intergalactic Traveler from Strange Alien from Another Planet. The Traveler, season 7, it's coming. So, but yes, we get our evil smile from Linda Lake because she now knows Clark's secret.
Yes.
And then we come back
finds her light perfectly, by the way, when she forms back into a person.
That's right. That's right. The clothes go with the water?
Yeah. Yes.
You sure?
I'm going to say it. Yes.
Did it work that way for Slick?
Yes. All right. In fact, it did.
Smallville had done the shapeshifter thing so well up to this point because they're like, you need different clothes. The clothes don't shapeshift. When Tina Greer shapeshifted, she needed other people's clothes. Or when Kylo,
Thomas.
The skinwalker, right? So yeah.
Sure. Sure.
Zachary Taylor Thomas, he needed two sets of clothes. Right? This was all discussed at some point, but then they're like, yeah, she's water, whatever. Don't worry about it. So
is it Zachary Taylor Thomas? What is his name?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Jonathan, I don't know.
Zachary Ty Bryan, and the third one who wasn't on Smallville. That's why I don't know his name. So
okay, that's what I did.
So there's apparently a little cafe outside the Daily Planet. Again, more on location shooting for Tom.
Love it. We're at the real building with those big, beautiful doors there. It's fun.
And this was a very essential scene because
yes.
Lana, as you said, this is all affecting all of Chloe's relationships. Lana is there and she is pissed. And Chloe's like, oh, hey. Thanks for returning my call finally. And Lana's like, so how much does Lana Lang's personal life boost paper sales here? And Chloe's like, okay.
I love Don't Give a Damn Lana.
I expected that. That's fine. but I like, again, I like this conversation because it's two people that they're reacting the way they would if this really happened. And that's what I'm looking for in these shows. And Smallville drifts away from that way too often to me for my taste. But here it's like, hey, I had a private conversation with my best friend, and it got printed verbatim in the Daily Planet, where you work. So
that said, I wish that Lana was a little more understanding that something weird was going on here.
Well, as Chloe points out, right?
As Chloe points out, but it's just like, woman, you were a vampire like 12 months ago. You can't understand that maybe something a little weird went on. You know, like they've been through so much. This is another one of those like, Mulder, you don't get that there's something weird here, you know?
Lana, I thought you of all people would understand.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Chloe's like, look, we're going to get to the bottom of this. Something's up with Linda Lake, right?
And then shows her the Daily Planet. Was it the Daily Planet? Paper? A newspaper article of, like, ace reporter found at the bottom of a lake after a meteor shower or whatever.
Yeah, the second meteor shower.
Yes.
Channel 54, not channel 52. So
not yet. Yeah.
Not yet. But they're gonna set a trap for Linda Lake, they decided. So then we cut back to the Kent farm, and Clark has called Lois, plus one for blue shirt, red jacket, because he's in the pseudo Superman costume. And at this point, it's like, oh, knowing what you know at the end, Clark has talked to Oliver already, and they've kind of set this plan in place.
Right.
But he's like, you deserve to know the truth. You know, we need to get to the bottom of this. I think you're right about him being the Green Arrow. And Lois is like, no, I don't want to know, because I think I'm in love with Oliver. And I don't know. If you love Lana like this, I don't know how you let her go.
See, this is where I thought you were going to tell me there was a deleted scene, honestly, because I was just like, we haven't checked back in with Oliver. You would think, like, she would go and try to be a little, like, you know, try to coax him out of it and then
jump out of a window,
like,
really,
or jump into Niagara Falls or whatever. Totally. That type of a thing, or just try to get him trapped up in his words or whatever. Uh-huh. And then he'd just be really sweet, and she'd realize, like, oh, no, I love him, you know? Mm-hmm. It just felt a little, it felt like a big jump, and I know it's just a B-plot, but I think that's why there's a big jump here from, I want your help to set him up to, no, never mind, I love him.
Well, to your point about, like, this is a prequel here, she's like, I wouldn't care if he was from Mars. I was like, ah, there we go. See, that's the thing, right? Lois and Chloe have both been like, oh, if someone was an alien, that'd be cool. And Lana's like, I don't know, that'd be really weird. I don't like that. So I'm like, come on, Clark. Can't help you fall in love with, I guess, Clark. But anyway.
Have you seen Kristen Crook? I mean.
Yes. So, And then Clark's like, "You're a pit bull on a peg leg. You're not gonna let this go." Like, I hate how well you know me. So, because they have a genuine friendship here. And you know what? I think Clark, for whatever reason, you know, as much as I'm like, I want Clark to be with Chloe, right? Listen, if you're Clark and Lois is Lois, and you're in this situation, how have you not been attracted to Lois at this point? Well, he's like, "Ew, 100%. Lois." I'm like, "What are you eight? Like, come on." But anyway, near the end of this episode, I love this
era of their friendship relationship, whatever you want to call it, when it's kind of best buds, but there's nothing sexual on the table, but it's just so clear how much they care about each other.
But then at the end of this episode, you can see Clark's like, I can see what.
Oh my god, his breath is taken away.
He's very excited.
Yeah.
But then we cut to the Gotham Clock Tower. I call it that because that's our level on the Patreon. That me, Matthew,
I appreciate
always
it.
Wanted a bird to pray with. I finally got it. 12 months, and I got it. The clock tower. Just in time for the Smallville Watchtower to make its official first appearance. We're going to call this the clock
tower.
And
for us to ruin our clock tower.
Very true. Yes. So Oliver is cutting like 1,000 limes. I don't know if you. Just pay attention. We got 7 months.
I also love that everything at this party
it's
is green.
Oh
my god, I love it so
much. It's like they did it intentionally to screw with her,
just to mess with Lois. Yeah.
So it's like, oh, it's great. We're having a movie night, and Clark shows up with this garbage bag size
garbage
full of
popcorn. Meanwhile, the green chips are there with the green margarita mix and the green limes. And
well, actually, I guess did Lois organize this then?
Yes,
maybe that's why she made
saying,
it green.
It's like, oh, yeah. Party, my party. I'll go get the tequila or whatever.
I don't know who is screwing with who, but I applaud whoever's decision it was of these characters to make
good
everything
point.
Green.
Yeah.
But she's like, oh, the ice melted. I better go to the store. See you guys in a bit.
Very much, yeah.
And then they watch her go, and Oliver's like, think she suspects anything? And Clark's like, no, she's a little preoccupied. So it's showtime, and they
open up the
clicker. He has several bows, by the way. I don't know if you noticed that.
I've studied this. Believe me, putting the cosplay together, I looked at every little bit of his arrow gear.
So we're like, what does this mean? What's going on here, right? Mm-hmm. And Lois is in the back alley of a much more dangerous place than the back alley of the Talon. The back alley of Metropolis building. And she's on the... She didn't have to do this. You didn't have to do this, Lois. She's on the phone. She's like, oh, Oliver, they're chasing me. And then she smashes her phone into the dumpster to destroy it. I'm like, no, all you had to do was hang up or blow it, like, shh.
Exactly.
You know. But then these thugs come out of nowhere. Because apparently, is this really Gotham? It might be really be Gotham City.
Yeah, exactly.
How dangerous
we'll
it is,
help
right?
you.
Come on, you got a dollar? Come on. So anyway, don't leave home without it. American Express. The bat. Shut up.
It ain't no bat.
I heard the bat got him.
Just shut up.
Shut up. And then Batman's up there, watches it all go down. Doesn't interfere.
Oh, animated Batman way up there? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But anyway, you guys are like, who are they talking about? It's Batman 89.
Between
but anyway.
That and Birds of Prey, we've alienated half the audience.
It's
I don't
fine.
Know why you have
it's
me
fine.
On anymore.
You know, if you guys are still with us, then you're
Thank
real
you.
Ones. So,
yeah.
But then we have a good moment here for Jimmy. You know, I was saying, oh, Jimmy loves whatever. You're right. And this phase, this is great. This is great stuff.
Fun.
I like
this
it.
This is so fun.
Because this is the kind of stuff that Jimmy and Lois would do, right? In the comics in the future.
Yes.
So this is the kind of shenanigans and hijinks they get in. So they're like, we're going to find out the secret. And then it backfires on him because Jimmy has to come out and punch these guys. And he's like, you didn't tell me they're going to be real robbers. Lois is like, yes. We just kind of showed up.
It's kind of improv now, Jimmy.
Then the Green Arrow shows up and they keep him in shadow. I really like the way it's lit. You know, it's
Me
obviously
too.
They're lighted this way. So you don't quote unquote, don't know. It's
right.
not Oliver.
And so that it maybe doesn't have to be Tom in the
yeah,
suit.
Yeah, it could
too.
Be just the stuntman, right?
Yeah.
But then they have the voice change, like, let her go, right? They clearly had Justin
that,
Hartley
that
say
was the
that.
Thing where I was like, that's cool, and you know, Oliver isn't in the scene yet, so maybe he's just speaking through the suit's voice changer thing. Like, I was just like, oh, they thought about this. It's cool.
Right. Now, they have some... They never go full Batman again with the music. You know, speaking of Batman 89.
It's
but
close.
It's very close. And then at the end where it's like, nah, nah. I'll edit it in here because that's what I've been doing with the screen on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish they had gone full Batman. Maybe WB was like, no, cut it out. So we get our first indication. It's not really Oliver because he reaches back for an arrow and he can't find it. He's kind of clumsy. And then he pulls the arrow back, doesn't shoot it because they all run away.
Right.
And then Lois is real excited, and when it's when the Green Arrow picks her up, and you hear that from the Batman theme, and she's like, "Your secret's safe with me, Oliver," and gives him like a real passionate kiss. And then Jimmy's there taking all these shots, right? And then you see it again. First Spider-Man movie. This is where my mind is back in 2006. She's like, wait a minute. You know, the kissing, the identity. Maybe I haven't kissed enough people in my life, to be honest, but I'm like, I don't know if I could tell the difference.
To be able to ID?
Yeah, it's like, you know, like immediately, like, oh no, like maybe Tom used too much tongue. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
I see. Like, I could ID a girlfriend of like several months to several years. Like, but for the most part, I think you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
How long have... Maybe. They've been together a few months, right?
Right. Well, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. To
also,
know, like,
I hear that Tom is much bigger than Justin.
But this is always a trope in these superhero fictions. I'm like even, well, it even happens in Smallville, right? In season 9, where he kisses her in the finale.
That. Oh, God, that moment's so good.
And
yeah.
She's like, Clark. I'm like, Clark. All right, I'll give it to you, show. You got me on board. But anyway, mm-hmm. I love pointing that out because, you know, as a high school freshman, when I saw Spider-Man, I was like, how can Mary Jane tell that Peter's Spider-Man? There's no way. But, you know, you get older, you have a little more life experience. You're like, all right, I see. But anyway.
We're still not sure. Don't lie. Like, we're still... we do a podcast. We're not completely sure. You know?
But then, you know, she pulls away. And she's like, she can tell it's not Oliver. And Oliver's like, hey. He's Hi. Standing behind her. And then
this
she
was a promo
Clark.
Shot. This was a promo shot. I remember Justin Hartley's kind of like stupid grin behind mm-hmm. them as they're kissing, and then that becomes what Jimmy is shooting basically in the episode.
Right, right, it's exactly. But see, in that case, it makes sense because there's a photographer there with a professional
totally,
camera.
Totally.
There, as opposed to Smallville season 1, whoever that professional photographer was following Chloe and Clark around, getting all those pictures.
Oh my
dance.
God! I was just. This is kind of related. I was just watching Lois and Clark this morning, and Clark on his desk at the Daily Planet has like a like sexy as hell promo shot of Dean Cain and Terry Hatcher for the show, and I was just like, no, that can't be in world. That's
oh man, I remember. I'll get some points for you for this. I remember in Vatman, Yes. Lex is like, stay away from this woman. I'm like, that is a season one promo shot of Lex.
I'm like, Terry on the street, and she just whipped her hair
We've
up
all seen it. It's in all the DVDs.
On the box just, art.
And Lex has this framed picture in his office. I love stuff like that. But anyway, Lois should have, like, broken her hand when she slapped Clark.
I thought about that too. I was just like, Clark always ready to go with it.
Right. But she punches his arm enough. He knows how to roll with it. Right. This is not a Lois arm punch, by the way. This is just slaps. It doesn't
count.
World
of cardboard, man.
So, Oliver's like, what's going on here? You thought I was Grinnell? And she's like, oh, it's just a hunch. And there's a moment where Jimmy has him like in the crosshairs, but then he super speeds away too fast. And I'm like, oh, Jimmy, you're going to find out you didn't get that shot. As a photographer, I can relate. It's very frustrating. So, but then we get our Tom around the corner here, right? And he does a full Malcolm Merlin with the hood ripping off. No one takes off a mask like John Barrowman as Malcolm Merlin. Like it is an incredible, such a fluid motion of like an exhale and an ecstasy.
He's a Broadway actor. He knows how to make emotes. It look cool.
He's got to make you in the back row see that emotion.
Damn
anyway,
good actor.
But this is what it reminded me of because, you know, Tom, he goes around the corner and he's kind of smiling. He's like, oh.
It almost looks like he's on like Red K or something. Like he's like possessed for a minute, but like by love and hormones and stuff. It's really fun.
I like that. I like how they're like, all right, now we're going to, maybe Clark's going to look at Lois a different way now, you know? So
it took his breath away. It's
there
nice.
It is. It's a good moment. And then, hey, they got Tom Welling in a superhero costume. So
yeah, never again.
And all right. Well, that's the thing. Apparently one of the recent conventions, a listener emailed us about this. And Tom was talking about how everybody was like kind of poking fun at him in the suit and all that. I'm like, man, you guys ruined it. Like,
damn it.
What if he was like, if he was like, all right, maybe I'll, that's what I said on the mailbag episode we did. It's like, maybe Tom was like, all right, if this runs long enough, maybe I'll put on a suit. But then he's like, no. When I was that Green Arrow suit, everybody gave me so much crap.
It was the worst night.
Never so, doing that. I'll show them.
Hey, but, Ben Affleck got over it. He said something similar, didn't he?
About what?
There was talking about Daredevil. There's a profound humiliation in wearing a superhero suit.
And then he went on to play George Reeves as Superman and Batman. So.
Right.
Who knows? So then we get back to, you know, you forget about Linda Lake because there's so much else going
Completely,
on here, right?
Yes.
It's so funny because I'm like, oh, Hydro. That's the one with Linda Lake. But then also in my head, I'm like, oh, Hydro. That's the one where Clark dressed up as Green Arrow. But I never think that same thing at the same time. Like, they're completely independent of each other.
I had no memory that they don't even meet each other in this episode.
Yeah, you're right.
Isn't that crazy?
That's what's so weird, like, when she shows up in season 8. I'm like, wait, you two know each other?
Right.
It's kind of like, right. And people have pointed this out to me before, because I've referred to Genevieve Teague as the big bad of season 4.
Yeah.
And people are like, no, well, she doesn't even meet Clark. I'm like, oh, I guess you're right. But
that's nuts to me.
But she is the big bad, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, back to our A plot, I guess.
Meteors are the big bad, I think.
Meteors are the big bad. Chloe and Lana are going to use the previously established webcam in Linda Lake's office.
Right.
And it's funny, Lana's like, I was waiting for this to be a product placement of some kind. She's like, wow, I can't believe how easy this is to sign on to AOL.com.
It's so easy to use, yeah. Hey, Chloe, while you're eavesdropping, could you check out what she's going to say about me next?
Right. And she's like, yeah, sure. Oh, far boy from another planet. And what's great about this is it's been established they're on a webcam. So right. Lana can see everything that Chloe does in her facial expression.
Yeah, did we set this up, by the way? Lana's outside on the street in her Jeep.
That's right.
Talking to Chloe. Yeah.
In her Jeep. That's right. They're in separate places.
On a laptop. I guess leeching off the Daily Planet's Wi-Fi. I'm not really sure.
To have incriminating evidence. That's the plan here, right?
Right. Right.
So Chloe sees this article and she's like, and Lana's like, Chloe, what is it? And she doesn't answer her, right? And it's another of these Daily Dish with Linda Lake. She's going to expose Clark. And Linda Lake comes in, and she's like, oh, who knew you were covering such a great story? I got to hand it to you. You it's true friendship right there. You could have made front page news of this kind of story. So
Right. This is the fun part. And this is, I mean, it all sets up what she does later on. But I do enjoy... This is the one scene where I felt like she had some menace to her. I felt like she was acting well here too, you know? But I also, I love the minute Lana feels like she can trust somebody. This plan that even like Chloe has brought her along on completely backfires on Chloe, mm-hmm. and makes Lana again feel like she's got no safe harbor with her friends.
Nowhere
anymore.
Else
like,
to turn but Lex, you know?
Right.
Sucks.
No wonder the episode ends how it's going to end. But right. this escalation, especially in the season 6 episodes as we're leading up to the wedding, of her getting close enough and her just like, she doesn't know, but she knows there's something weird going on. It's heartbreaking to me because it just cuts her off completely. Like, I get why people don't like this for the character, but it's not the character's fault that she goes somewhere, you know, dark in this season.
Yeah, it's there's pockets where it's like well done, and there's pockets where it's not, and the pockets where it's not make you like, oh, well, I don't like this.
Sure. So
by the time
this feels good to me,
yeah,
this makes sense.
By the time that we've had a rough stretch here with some episodes, sure. But by the time they get back to this, I'm like, oh, all right. I see what you're doing. I see how you're like moving players around. Like, there's thought put mm-hmm. into why decisions are made and all that.
And the minute she thinks she can trust somebody, Tori Spelling shows up and realizes that she can't. Yeah. You know?
Right. So, yeah, so what's interesting, though, in this scene, right, is Chloe's, like, trying to get her to admit she's a liar but can't say what's going on because she doesn't
but
want Lana
playing
to know.
Two versions of it.
Right, and then, like, you wonder, like, how long is this going to go without someone saying something they shouldn't? And, right. again, waiting for the AOL product placement, she's like, the internet's a wonderful thing, isn't it? One click of the button.
And she's publish.
About to publish her blog or whatever. And then Chloe, because, again, the Chekhov's gun, Chekhov's hammer.
I was just going to say, yeah. Chekhov's construction crew.
We've set up there's this construction equipment so Chloe can grab a hammer and smash the laptop just when Lena Lake's like, the whole world's going to find out your farm boyfriend is really a...
It's like a ball peen hammer, too. It's weird that it's there, but...
And then even after the laptop is smashed, it doesn't count as a shut that laptop, by the way. It's been smashed.
No, it's...
She still says... alien like to like confirm with you that she knows. And then we have a pretty good fight.
This is a fun fight, yeah. Although this is like one of those, like, if we had a bigger budget, so like Chloe starts running out, Linda Lake's pulling a Casino Royale trying to shoot her with the nail gun.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. She runs out of nails, I guess, is the only reason Chloe didn't
I
die.
Guess, yeah, or to, yeah, whatever it is.
Jammed,
and
yeah.
She gets into the elevator, and the elevator doors close, and I was very much expecting
Terminator 2.
Water to wash through the elevator. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was expecting the
T-1000. If not open it up, at least, like, suddenly water starts gushing through, and she
it's
know,
like,
shows up.
It's like they wrote it with that in mind, but they ran out of budget, and they're like, just let her go into the elevator.
Tom's shooting really slow, yeah. Guys. So,
Tom, can
guess
we
we'll just go outside?
Can we hear this along? But you know, this is a pretty pretty ambitious stuff for a second time director for him to do.
Sure,
so.
Sure. I couldn't do it. It's all good.
But yes, I was so waiting for that Terminator 2 moment. But then they go outside, and you're right. There's just a puddle of water underneath Chloe. It's unclear how it, like, was she in her shoe? Like, not really sure.
Yeah, she just water races outside. Well, it is raining too again. That this is another scene where I feel bad for them trying to distinguish water, because like every time they look on like the top of the car or on the street or whatever, and they're supposed to be looking at the water, it's just like everything is mm-hmm. soaking wet, and it's so hard to see like what's supposed to be Linda Lake, you know?
Right. So they, anyway. They keep grappling with each other, and
I love here during this fight, Linda Lake grabs one of those like solar light up like garden lights or pathway lights,
yes.
That has like that plastic stake that you just like mm-hmm. jam into the ground,
and, she pulls
and that's
it out
her weapon
of the ground.
Here
and then they've been trading barbs the whole episode about like sea level and underwater, right?
Yeah.
And
what
then
she's
she says, if you want to give above sea level, you got to have sharper teeth.
Sharpen those teeth.
Yeah. And then she's going to stab her. But then Lana comes to the rescue and hits her.
Chloe like twirls her, like launches Linda into the air.
Yeah. And then she just street. Turns into water on Lana's windshield.
Yeah.
And
which I did go back and look again. Like, it's a cool looking visual effect.
It is well done. It is well
yeah,
done.
It's a quick morph is all it is, but it looks nice.
They kind of knew their limitations with this power, I guess, mm-hmm. and they did it well,
right?
To the best of their ability. So this doesn't count as a lot of kills. Then we're not going to count it. It's up to you.
I don't think so. I mean,
because
she
doesn't die,
she does.
So she comes back.
I don't think so.
All right, fair enough. I had you on the show with a potential to add to your category, but you're going to pass. I respect that, Matt.
I know you just read off the ones that we add to. I would like to just check in with the Lana kills.
We'll check in.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
So, Lana has pulled up, and she's like, she came out of nowhere. And Chloe says, it's okay. She's gone now, which means that they don't, to me, that doesn't say, like, oh my God, I killed her.
Right. And Chloe never completely realized what her power was. Like, it's just so...
That's, you know what, you're right. They never find, oh, well, you, the water,
there's,
and the...
There's no even moment of, like, wow, she turned into water. You know?
That's, like, a good point. It's just... Which makes her return all that more impactful because they don't know who they're dealing with.
But we suspect that there's something weird, I assume, because she shows Lana the Crater Lake meteor shower article. Mm-hmm. But we really don't know. And she never meets Clark, so, like, no one's...
Nobody knows. But then we see the water come off Lana's car into the sewer to escape. So
this was a nice shot, too, where I think the water on the hood of the Jeep is CGI. And then by the time it pans down the grill, it goes into real water. Yeah. And I'm like, that's fine. Totally,
it's
cool.
It's true. So then we cut back to the basement, and Chloe is nursing her Catwoman scratch on her face. She's got
Oh yeah, yeah. Linda, like, really
got into
Catwoman. You're right. Like,
and the Jimmy comes in. He's really excited, and he's pretty beat up too. So, like, what happened to you? Well, what happened to you? What happened to you?
Cute. They're both touching each other's face.
It's fine. But Jimmy's like, you should see the other guy, right? And then he pulls out his camera, and he's got pictures of the Green Arrow, Matt.
Can't wait.
And he describes to Chloe, like, man, he, like, threw a guy, and then he sped away. It's like, I always thought he was super cool. I didn't know he was super powered, mm-hmm. you know? But he pulls out the promo pictures for Hydro, right? And Chloe... realizes it's Clark based off the pictures, plus the fact that he's gone.
It's really nicely done. Yeah.
I feel like the slow burn of her realizing what's going on here is very nicely done. Almost worth the payoff for her not knowing who the Green Arrow was for 11 episodes, right?
Yeah.
And Jimmy's like, here's the real money shot, and it's gone because he's super sped away.
Right. He's faster than a 100 frames a second camera or whatever she said. You know, like,
thank God for not saying he's faster than a speeding bullet. Because I cannot take anymore.
I thought this was a nice and natural adaptation of it. I also...
Yes, because they're talking about a camera. Exactly.
Yes, between this and the... between this and the next Chloe's Lois Clark scene, I love, A, the subtlety of this. It's not super spelled out. We realize that Chloe realizes what's going on. And then between now and then, I like that they don't spell out what happens. Like, Chloe in this next scene... is so good. To, like, it's spot on what this show should be for me.
Right, because she didn't say...
Is it the next scene? Sorry.
Yeah, no, it is. And perfect. Clearly, Chloe and Clark didn't talk about this before, right?
No, she brings and her, Chloe like, has just been gabbing with Lois about her crazy night and found out something nuts and was just like, Clark, you should come over real quick, you know?
By the way, blue on blue for Clark's shirt and jacket. That. Very rare on the show. I like it quite a bit. He wears it in a couple episodes at the end of season 8, like the blue t-shirt and the blue jacket. I like it. Mixes it up. But anyway.
Yep. His hair is very strange here.
Oh.
It just felt off to me. It's always been kind of too long in the show, but there's just a weird featheriness to it where I was just like, oh, you've been directing too long.
This is our fashion and hair comments on this.
Sorry. Yeah. Here to help. Here to help. And what's with Green Arrow sleeves, guys? Oh, boy.
Hey, good continuity. Chloe still has the scratches in this scene. I'm impressed.
Yes, but they are healing a little bit. I thought that looked nice.
Look, come on. You know what?
Yep.
We give this show a hard time, but when it does its job, we give credit where credit is due.
Makeup is on top of it today.
That's right.
But yeah, I love, like, Chloe's got this like, Cat the Dink at the Canary look on her face the minute Clark comes in. And she's getting Lois to recount her night, and, you know, she met the Green Arrow, and turns out it wasn't Oliver. And
to say something, and Chloe's like, "Wait, this is the best part."
Just let her do it. How did you know it wasn't Oliver, Clark or Lois? And Lois does it like, "Now, don't get me wrong, Oliver's a good kisser. So, like, you're welcome, Justin Hartley." But the Green Arrow could teach him a thing or two. And Clark is stunned by it. And Chloe's never looked happier. Like, it's the cutest little moment between that. And it's like, it's just that kind of, like, I'm going to say Lois and Clarky again moment of just, it's a little wacky. It's a little screwball, but it's fun. And the character of it, the friendship of it, is so there and on top of everything, or, you know, like kind of leading everything on.
It's a happy scene. There's no melodrama here. There's no angst.
No, no.
Like, it's like Chloe's kind of shipping Lois and Clark, which, like,
exactly.
Okay, I guess, look, if Chloe's cool with it and gives it her seal of approval, I guess I'm cool with it too, back in 2006 and 2007.
I guess.
So, if I have to do it this way, I guess so. you know, to the point of Justin or Tom being a better kisser, and the companion, Erica only had this to say, trade secrets, baby. So she's not going to say if Tom or Justin is a better kisser. So
you're going to have to, yeah, get in touch with her on Cameo to figure that out. I don't know if she's on Cameo.
So we leave that adorable scene because it's like, oh, Clark got played, you know, for once, you know, mm-hmm. and it's nice. And he's like, you guys got me. You know, it's a cute, absolutely cute scene.
And the sexual chemistry between Lois and Clark is undeniable.
So then we get back to Lana, right, who's waiting for Chloe at work the next day.
Right.
And Lana's like, hey, you know, we didn't really talk about what happened last night. And
this breaks my heart.
Chloe tries to, she does a really good job misdirecting. She's like, look, Lana, you know, you don't want to kill her, but she's just got this. I'm like, whoa, kill her?
Yeah.
Where did that come from? When did this happen? Right. But Chloe tries to focus on, that's what you do when you try to misdirect. You're like, you focus real hard on the sort of thing and say, hey, okay, well, you know, it happened. Not the first meteor freak I've met. Well, it's all good. Right. And the Lana's like, how do you do that? Like, how do you just lie about that? You know?
Oh, it breaks my heart. This scene.
Mm-hmm.
This and the next scene with Clark, but especially this one, it just felt like it was so personal. And Lana is trying to give her every benefit of the doubt at the start of this, and Chloe's just gaslighting her as she kind of, you know, feels that she has to in order to keep Clark's secret. But I have nothing but sympathy for Lana Lang's character here right now. It's just devastating that all of her friends are hellbent on keeping things a secret from her.
Well, it's a good companion piece to the scene we were talking about earlier, where Lana's mad at Chloe, and Chloe's like, hey, you should have given me the benefit of the doubt, right?
Right.
And
she tries.
She tries. She honestly did try.
Yes.
And Lana's like, come on, just tell me what's up. And mm-hmm. Chloe's like, I don't know what you're talking about. She's like, I would never do anything to hurt you. And Lana's like, that's what Clark always says.
Boom. Great moment.
Also, Chloe still has her scratches in the scene, so
they're healed even more. Again, great job, makeup team.
So we get our inevitable meeting between Lana and Clark, right? Everybody, the whole episode, people have been saying, "Oh, you guys got to meet. You guys got to meet," right? But they haven't been in the loft in a while.
She looks phenomenal.
She came to come tell her ex-boyfriend,
yes,
that she's engaged.
Her best earrings.
These are some really big earrings.
She just looks so great. Mm-hmm. Can you tell who my first crush was? But this is another one, too, where it's just like there's so many moments in the show where you could say, like, Clark, this is your last shot. Like, take it, you know? And he doesn't. She comes in and basically, you know, tells... What does she say here? What does she say here? That Lex proposed to her and the first person she wanted to talk to was Clark?
Yeah, she's like, as messed up as it is, you're the first person I wanted to tell. And it's like,
dude.
This is like, you could say this is contrived, but no, this is actually strange adult emotions going on here, I guess.
Yeah, it's super, it's not contrived for me. They had this friendship before they even got together, and they were together for such a short time, you know, relative to the rest of their friendship, that it's almost inconsequential here, except for the fact that she still has feelings for him, and he clearly does for her. And it's just like, oh my God, the drama of this is very good for me. And it's another moment where Clark is pushing people away to the detriment of his secret. Where he's just kind of so hell-bent on keeping the secret and, you know, supposedly protecting himself and the people around him, that he doesn't realize that it's screwing up his life. And it's you know, it's a lesson that he learns throughout this whole series, but this is another one of those moments where it's just like, on the surface, that's what this scene is about.
Absolutely. And another thing that strengthens it is there's no music here.
Yeah. There's great. There's also this music was rough this episode. But
there's no pop music, there's no score. It's just like it's just silence, and that's what makes it feel even more authentic. So this is
just let these two characters have this awkward as hell scene with all of this history behind them. Mm-hmm. And these actors do a really great job.
Yeah, yeah. And like we were worn out on our loft scenes because they were always the same thing, right? But this is like there's real like if there were more scenes like this, I wouldn't be complaining about it because I think it's like again, this episode's strength is these confronting the reality of all the stuff that's going on in these characters' lives, people we've known for six seasons now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, just trust me, come on. And she even like touches his arm and he like looks at her, he's like, he's thinking about it. He honestly is thinking about it, but he's
and
like,
she's got no other motive here too. That's the thing that kills it. There's so many people that come to him with motives and you know, like there's times where he should have trusted Lex and times where he was right not to, you know, but like she is just one last time trying to give him this genuine shot at her heart, and he misses. And I get why, but also babies don't live forever. You know, like maybe
babies don't live forever. Matt Truex, host of Always Sold on the Birds of Prey.
It's like that. Then I get why he does it, and I get these.
Well, that's the deal breaker for him.
Yes,
yeah, I mean, because he's like
now that you're carrying his child or whatever.
Because he says doesn't matter now. Because she's like, you were going to come see me. What were you going to say? He's like, doesn't matter now.
Doesn't matter now.
Lex told me about the baby.
Yeah.
And she's like, wow. And so Lex Luthor's nefarious plot has paid off, if you're to believe that he orchestrated this entire thing. So
worth every red cent he paid those doctors, you know.
But you're right. These actors, they sell it. You know, Clark's like, everything's changed. You can just see the heartbreak on her face.
Yeah, and he wants to, too. Like, he is aware that this is the last shot, too, you know.
And these scenes would have more impact if it really was the last time.
If it really was, yeah.
It's like, all right, we're going to do this 12 more times and then be together for like a whole season.
I'll see you in season 8, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, no. But yeah, she walks off and it's again, silence. There's no pop song starts, anything
it's
like
nice.
That. And Clark, the last thing he can say to her, is, I hope Lex makes you happy. And like, what else is there to say at this point? And she's like, I don't even know how to take that. She, you know, right? This, her performance is great. Mm-hmm. And where does she go but to the only place she has left? Back to Lex, right?
The fireplace, yes.
Right, the fireplace. Again, we're back at the fireplace. And is this where you thought Rosenbaum was off his game as well? I thought he did pretty well in this scene.
No, I thought this was good, too.
It was the Linda Lake scene.
Yeah, the Linda Lake. And then for some reason, I didn't like him when he came into the room with Lana. But I like the Clark scene and I like this scene very much.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because he plays all like to her like, oh, I never made her offer. I didn't know the answer to. But then he's talking to Clark and he's like, well, she's going to say yes because she's pregnant with my child. So
right.
It's like,
so boom.
So he's playing both angles. And
should, Lex Luthor.
It's right. But it's interesting here because she's honest with him. She's like, I went to see Clark. And he's like, And she says, I love him. It's like, oh.
Like, okay.
Then she says, I probably always will, but I love you too. And I guess I'll always love you both. But you're honest with me and all these kinds of things. And that's the thing. But it's surprisingly self-aware from her, though. She's like, maybe I'll always love both of you, right? That's a complicated human emotion, so I applaud it.
Right. It's a weird emotion to go into a marriage with.
That's terrible. Like, if you're Lex, like, come on, man.
Not great. unless you've talked about it for a long while before that. I do like her line here if she says something to the effect of, I want to be with someone that shows me a side of themselves that they don't show other people. And I'm like, that's all she's been driving at with Clark for the past however many years. And for whatever reason, because of his evil machinations, she feels that she's found it here with Lex, even though obviously he's just as dishonest as Clark. But.
Yeah, because Lana tells him, like, you deserve better than that. And he's like, well, the life I've lived, you know, I don't deserve anything. I'm like,
go to bed praying every night. I don't get what I deserve.
Right, exactly. It's like, what have you been doing, Lex? Like, if I were Lana, I'd be like, wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
Hold on a minute. But he's like, but then you meet somebody.
But you made that vaccine for all those people. What are you talking about?
Right. But he's like, it's worth waiting forever for. And she's like, well, you won't have to. Lex Luthor, I will marry you. And they hug, and that's the end of the episode. And there's a faintly triumphant little music here.
Yeah, it's a weird music cue here. Yeah.
I don't know how I'm supposed to feel. I guess they don't know how you're supposed to feel. But this is, like you said, Matt, this is not the right way to go into a marriage, anyone. Like, there's way too much baggage going on here. So, again, Smallville always with the on-point relationship examples for everyone to learn from, I think. So, but here's the thing, right? Lex, he wants this so bad, he's willing to be like, well, I guess she still loves Clark, but she said yes, so I guess that's a win, right?
I got her fake knocked up,
got
so
it.
Let's go. Yeah.
So, anyway.
Win for me.
There it is, and that's Hydro. What a weird episode.
So what a strange. It's almost like there's two B plots and no A plot. It's so weird that Clark doesn't meet our villain of the episode, you know?
That's a good point. I love how you said the two B plots, no A plot.
Yeah.
And then you know, all the characters who are in the episode, you know, they have, I mean, Lois and Jimmy, good plot line. Chloe.
Fun.
So, circling around everything, right? And then there's no Martha, there's no Lionel. So no adults around this week. And then, you know, for an episode with the whole, like, because that's what I remember it most for, again, separately, never together, but, you know, Tori Spelling over here, Green Arrow over here, Justin Hawley doesn't have a lot to do.
That's another thing. We don't get, like, any pure Green Arrow stuff.
No, I mean, we get it next week, so.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And then we have to wait for another season for one episode. So, there you go, guys. Hydro.
Hey. You took off early last night. You okay?
I just keep running what happened through my head.
Lana, you can't blame yourself. It wasn't your fault.
That part I'm pretty clear on.
Look, nobody wanted to see her die. But if you hadn't come when you did, it would have been my obit on the front page. Maybe. Of Section D. Anyway, thank you. Again.
How do you do that? Just brush it under the rug as if nothing happened.
Lana, Linda wasn't the first freak of nature who went psycho.
No. I mean, whatever it is you're protecting about Clark.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do. Some secret about a farm boy? Made you take a hammer to her computer before I could hear the rest. Come on, Chloe, I'm not that naive. Whatever it is you two have been hiding, do you really expect me to keep looking the other way?
Linda was grasping at straws. She's always desperate for her next story. You know that better than anyone. Lana. I would never do anything to hurt you.
That's what Clark always says.
Hydro got an 8.3 out of 10 on IMDb, and Neil Bailey from the Superman homepage gave it a 1 out of 5. Another 1 from Neil. He's been in a rough spot. Now, I agreed with him
a lot
on Subterranean. I agree with him there, but this is, that is just so low. No. 1 out of 5, are you kidding me? So, to that point, Matt, I ask you, on the letter grade scale, my friend, what do you give Hydro?
So, I'm sitting here looking at my notes from our last Always Hard On to Birds of Prey episode, and I think the B+ I have written for the Feet of Clay notes is applicable here. I'm going to go B+. I think there's some fun stuff in here. I think it doesn't all come together really well. There's a few scenes that seem off. It just kind of feels, like I said, two B stories without one A story kind of bringing it all together. But I like a lot of what they do here. So B+.
We are in alignment. I also going to give this a B+. This is a good episode we've had a rough stretch of episodes here in season 6. And I was like, man, I remember the first half being better than the second half. What lies in store for us? Mainly for the character stuff, right? That's what I'm saying. I said this whole review, we were talking about like the raw emotions and scenes and addressing some actually what is going on here, instead of just like in the background, oh yeah, Lex and Lana are engaged and she's pregnant and all this. Like, no, we need to address these things, and we do.
Right.
And then Chloe being the center of all these drama points and all that finally being addressed. And yeah, we have a goofy freak of the week, but it's like, it's kind of like a season one. I mean, that's what it is, right? It's this random freak of the week with no real explanation. Yeah, there you go. Slick returns, yeah. Right? So, yeah, I think the plus is for the character stuff, and the B is for, like, it's really enjoyable. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, the Lois and Clark stuff was great when he's the Green Arrow. I mean, that's charming.
Nothing's off-model. There's some nice character bits here. Yeah. There's some nice, like, you remember why we like these characters so much and their different permutations?
And
I'm into it.
And you understand why Lana makes the bad choices that she does.
Yes. So.
You see, even on Lois and Clark, though, when Lois was going to go marry Lex, Clark was like, hey, I love you. Don't marry Lex.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's played worse than all this Lex and Lana stuff. That's such a contrived romance between her and Lex.
It is. I mean, from her point of view, right? But I love John Chainsuck Luther, and I like...
Oh, I get him, like, totally, but it just...
I mean, if I were that Lois, I'd fall in love with John Shay. But no, yes.
Lois and Clark very rarely wasn't kind of surface level stuff, so they just didn't have enough nuance to it there.
Yeah.
That said, again, I've been rewatching a lot of Lois and Clark lately, and there's some gems in there that even I forgot about. It was like, oh yeah,
And this really does feel like the charming, cheeky stuff, as we said, does feel like very Lois and Clark-esque as well. And as you said, that's a great point you made. Like, that's what this show is becoming. We didn't know it yet, but this show
but we're on our way,
drifting into Lois and Clark. So there you go. So
by the time Terry gets here.
But yes, B pluses for both of us. Cool. Let's go to the tally board. We have a plus one for our blue shirt, red jacket. That brings us to 47. We have a plus one for product placement Pete for the Sprint flip foam. That brings us to 13. We have a plus one for shirtless Oliver. That brings us to 3. And then a check-in for Lana Kills. We have 4 so far on the tally board.
I realize that's less than some other tallies, but I'd just like to remind you of the sweet, innocent cheerleader that we met in season one, who has taken 4 people's lives already and will take more as the series progresses.
Let's go through that. I can't remember all 4. I know the guy with the pitchfork in
that
in
was the first
Phoenix.
That's what started this whole mess.
That's what started this whole thing. And then she kills Genevieve Teague with the Stone of Power, stabs her in the heart.
Oh, you mean the big bad of season 4? Yeah.
But she didn't meet Clark, Beth.
I don't care.
And then she vaporizes Buffy the Vampire in Thirst. Who was the 4th one she kills?
I don't know. Was it one of her dream of fantasy people? No. Was it?
So, this is like when main characters die and I try to list them off and I can't remember.
Yeah, who knows? I don't remember.
I know that, man, this
I
is
I feel
tough.
Like it came up in that episode, though. What am I thinking? Hijacker? No, what's the name of that movie? Flatliners.
Oh, does she,
was
oh,
it that episode?
Does she kill... Oh, does she kill the guy... the guy from Void? Does she kill him?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway... Let us know,
I
listeners.
I guess we should rewatch the show.
Let us know in the comments who the 4th person she killed was. We could have counted here because they're like, well, she's dead.
They think,
know?
Yeah.
But they're like, you would have seen my name in the obituary instead. But But
this
we
is
know
an
she
arbitrary ruling, but yes. As of right now, as I sit here.
That's the maturity of Matt Truex here. Like, he came up with this category. He had an opportunity to add to it. He chose not to.
We don't need to stack the deck. I just want to know a true number at the end of the day.
So there you go. Oh, hey, Bechdel test pass. All right. Chloe and Linda Lake. Yeah.
Great.
But there you go.
But fine.
As the show goes on, we get more and more female characters around all the time. Bechdel test is going to start passing a lot more often.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself Tess Mercer in there. You know, you're good.
People have to talk about Clark's secret a little bit less.
Yeah, because they know that
Everybody
already.
Everybody knows about it, yeah.
It's not a problem. So there you go, guys. Hydra, which is, as I said at the top, a delightful episode in its own way. So how you been liking season 6, Matt?
I like season 6. It's like I completely forgot about the last episode. There's been a few rediscoveries listening along with your show. But I think it's a fun season. It's when it goes dark. It follows the Buffy path of like we're just going for as dark as we can be here, you know. Yeah. But I'm excited to see it come forward, and I honestly don't remember much of the ending of it, and I really don't remember any of season 7. So
all right.
I'm looking
for a journey
forward to the show progressing.
Well, I'll bet you remember Cure.
I do remember Cure. I'm excited for Promise.
Yes. The wedding episode? Yes, the wedding episode. So.
Yeah. I know the Valentine's Day episode far too well.
Yes, right. Very good. Very good. So there's some heavy hitters still. Obviously, next week, Justice. All right.
Talk about heavy hitter.
Heavy hitter. That's a top 10 right there, as voted by you, the people. I know it's on the Smallville. But yep. That's next week. But hey, Matt, if people out there want to find you, and they're not listening to our Patreon on Always on the Birds of Prey, where else can they find you?
They can find me at Birds of Prey TV on Instagram. Lois and Clark is still somewhat alive, which is to say I'm just like back into Lois and Clark right now, and I'm doing a lot of art for it. So just keep an eye out for that stuff.
That reminded me. Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, your podcast, mm-hmm. right? Of course, a take on Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, the show. Chloe has a line to Lois in here. She's like, hey, so what's up with Lois and Jimmy, the secret adventures of...
Yeah, the secret adventures of Lois and Jimmy or something. I was like, I'll read that spinoff in a heartbeat.
Oh, man, I'm glad I remember that at the end here, because that's like, oh, Matt, perfect. So.
Otherwise, if you're an Arrowverse and a Crisis on Infinite Earths fan, I still have my fan comic, Birds of Prey, Crisis on Earth 203. On dailyknockoff.com for free, so check it out.
I highly recommend it. So as for me, you can find me at More on Zach on Twitter. That's MoreOnZach. I'm also the host of another podcast, Franchise Fatigue, where we talk about movies, remakes, reboots, sequels, and when franchises get fatigued. You can find us on Twitter at UFB Earth and Franchise Fatigue. And as for the podcast here, you can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville with one S. You can find us on Facebook at Always Hold On to Smallville. And you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com, once again with one S. And you can find all that information on my new business cards, courtesy of Mr. Matt Shrooks. You might have seen him on the social media. So my man Matt hooked me up. Very happy.
Merry Christmas, dude.
If you guys ever see me at a convention, maybe I'll give you one. So thank you.
And
Matt,
be sure to decode the decrypt the Kryptonian on the back of the card.
That's right.
Because there's a little in-joke there for all you
coming.
Podcast fans.
No, that's not what it says.
That's not what it says. But the next batch. Fine. Just wait for next Christmas.
That's so. Right. Very good. Very good. All righty, y'all. Well, we'll be back next week talking about Justice. But until then, always hold on to Smallville. Always Hold to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Cafonte Chillis, Dallas Hernandez, Casey Cochran, Derek Kirsch, Lex Ledger, Joy Deedberg, JJ Hodges, DJ Duena, Jason Skipper, Mateo Jarrell Santiago, Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, Joe Mickendo, Steve Rogers, John Curcio, Atif Sheik, Molly Ficarilla, Trayvon Brady, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Mariana Sachi, Rachel Miller, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Nathan Rothacher, Zachary Burkhalter, Corey Moore, James Bandini II, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Will Hunt, Clunk Kant, Patricia Carrillo, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Coso, Jared Gibbs, Erica Flynn, Anthony Anderson, Jasmine Magelli, Keith Falls, and Jay Packett. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.